Om Shanti. Today we have Mohit Bhai among us. Mohit Bhai is 19 years in knowledge. He took knowledge from Australia, stayed over there for 14 years, and then shifted to Abu Dhabi. Now, since past 5 years, he's staying in Abu Dhabi, which is a Muslim country. Academically, he's a chemical engineer, but is practicing water treatment, water management in Abu Dhabi in a firm over there. He's married, and immediately after marriage, after a month of marriage, both Mohit Bhai and wife got knowledge, and thus both together are in knowledge for past 19 years. And today we'll be listening to him on the topic, being a flawless diamond. We heartily welcome Mohit Bhai. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. A very good morning. I have a request. It's slightly cold in this room. I would encourage you to all come in the front, please, if you wouldn't mind. Because if we all sit together, we'll get warmth from each other. Yeah? And there's power in a gathering. So please, brothers, come to the first row. And I promise you I won't bite. So please come close to me. Don't sit so far. Sisters, front row, please. Come. I can see you better. I can interact with you better. The idea is not to do a class, but to have a spiritual exchange. Is that okay? So we'll keep this interactive. Yeah? Nobody wants to take this first row here? Come on, please. Okay. So the topic for today's discussion was inspired by this morning's Avyakt Murli. The Avyakt Murli original date was 1995, just on the eve of the Diamond Jubilee year for Baba's service. And I recall this Murli quite vividly because I first met Baba in February 96, Shivratri. So this was like two or three Murlis leading up to the Murli when I was sitting in front of Baba. And so some of the points I remembered quite easily. Firstly, I'd like to discuss with you all what you feel or what you know is a diamond. You know, if we are aiming to become something, it is good to first try and understand what that thing is, what its features are, what its characteristics are, to help us understand what our aim is. So my question to you is, I'm sure you have all seen a diamond, but if I was to ask you, what is a diamond, what would you say? Shining? Sorry? Is it a metal? Okay, most precious material, let's say. Lot of faces. Mm-hmm. Sorry?
It's a gem,
so it's precious. Mm-hmm. Sorry? 100% pure carbon. Yeah, that's a good one. Strong and tough. Anything else? Shiny. Clear. Sparkling. Comes from the dirt. Everybody loves it. Everybody values it. Hmm? So, do you relate to all these qualities that we're talking about for a diamond? Can we relate to these? shiny, light, 100% pure. So just a little bit of chemistry. The chemical formula of a diamond is the same as that of charcoal, carbon. Yet one has so much value and one, is not that valuable. Charcoal. Have you seen charcoal? What are some of its qualities? Dirty, black. Yeah, but has potential. So the chemical formula of carbon and charcoal are exactly the same. So what is it that makes something charcoal and something a valuable diamond? So if you know a little bit of physics and chemistry, you will know that the process of making a diamond is subjecting carbon to extreme pressure and high temperature over a period of time. That's what makes it into a diamond. Did you know that? So chemically it's no different to charcoal, but it's just subject to high pressure and extreme temperature over a long period of time. So, if we are to become flawless diamonds, what is the pressure we need to tolerate? What is the high temperature for us? And what is the period? Something to think about. The other thing about a diamond is, before it is refined, before it is cut, it looks no different to any other stone or a rock. You're from South Africa. There's a lot of diamond mining there. So before they actually cut the diamonds, they just look like stones. But it's the keen eye of an expert that knows that this stone has value and this stone is useless. The diamond as it's found in the earth is not shining like we see it in our jewels and things like that. It goes through a further process of, refining. So Baba is that expert who has the keen eye for value in the soul and has hand-picked us, each one of us. Not because of what we seem today, what we are visible today. Because if Baba went on face value, he would not choose us. But he sees the future, the diamond in us. And on that basis, he has chosen each and every one of us. So this is a point of intoxication, that why has Baba chosen me over so many millions and billions of souls to become his child, to be in this knowledge? Because it's his keen eye, he's like a jeweler. That Baba and this Baba also was a jeweler. In Lokic life, Brahma Baba was also a jeweler, very keen eye. What is the power that a jeweler must have? One of the eight powers, power to discriminate or power to discern, to be able to clearly see the value of what is in front of me, what is valuable and what is valueless. Yeah? So before we undergo that refining process and become real diamonds, somebody's vision has already seen the value in us. And who is that somebody? The highest authority, God. So, first is the process of formation of a diamond. High pressure, high temperature, long period of time. And then is the process of refining it or cutting it to make it presentable, to make it attractive. And that's when it's really valued. So my churning on this is that Baba's yagya has been created for us to get that extended high temperature, high pressure over a period of time, which raises our value, makes us valuable. Do you feel that? When we come into this knowledge, we first given a formula how to lead our life. We are given a timetable, we are given maryadas, codes of conduct, principles. So these are all trying to invoke in us a process whereby we can withstand high temperature. And high temperature is what? It's the fire of yoga. You know, so the long period of sustained yoga increases the value of the soul, increases the value of the diamond. What is pressure? We come close to each other. We start to live in this Brahmin family, extended world family. We interact with each other. Each one is a different soul with their own sanskaras. So living together in harmony, sometimes it feels like pressure. Yeah? Ever experienced that? No? But this pressure is good pressure because this is increasing our value. So not to see it as something that is, you know, to be avoided. No. If we avoid the pressure, if we avoid the temperature, we are losing out on our value. So in the past, we may have been sannyasis in our living. Yeah? Because old souls been through the cycle, 84th birth, the world seems like a funny place, we don't fit in, we are old souls. So over the last few births, generally there's a tendency of, you know, staying a bit detached and away from things. So a lot of Brahmins, they bring sannyasi sanskaras, means I'm okay as long as I'm on my own. It's hard to deal with people. Difficult to deal with people, difficult to live in gatherings, difficult to perform in gatherings. Yeah, ever have that feeling? That I can be a really good yogi just if I'm left alone. Yeah, the minute I have to interact with other bhikkhus, that's where, you know, everything goes wrong. Yeah? Is there anyone here who's living in a center? It's a lot more enhanced or a lot more prominent in a center. You know, because there you are really in the furnace. You know, the yagya is a furnace being created to raise my value, to make me a diamond. You know, so we really have to look at our past sanskaras. If we have inhibitions of being in a gathering, you know, something we need to check. Because it's only when we interact with each other, that's when we rub with each other. That's when our sharp corners get sandpapered, smoothened. So this is how sanskaras get molded. So, high temperature is, you know, that deep yoga. Me and my Baba, nothing else. High pressure is to perform in the gathering, to practice the eight powers. The eight powers, there's one power which will help me in every situation. And it's the power to discern or discriminate which will help me understand which is the right power for that situation. Because some situations require me to be patient, tolerant. And some situations require me to face up. And if I make mistakes, when I'm needing to be tolerant and patient, I face up and be aggressive. And when I need to face up, I shrink and tolerate. You know? So applying the right power accurately is also a power. It's the power to discern. So all these powers come through practicing them. And we need to practice these when we are under high pressure. Living on our own, there's very little need to practice powers. Yeah, because furniture doesn't talk back. Yeah, I can, if I want the chair to be placed there, I will place it there. It will not argue with me. But human beings are different. Brahman souls are even more different. Agree? So, not to see our interactions as clashes, but as something which is for my growth. It's the process through which I go in a rough, uncut stone and I come out a shining, refined diamond. The process takes time. So it's pressure and temperature for a period of time. So time means we need to be patient. We need to be tolerant. Yet, we need to value time. You know, Baba's signals in the recent Murlis have been time is critical. You know, Baba's been preparing us for suddenly. Yet, in the same breath, he says, over a long period of time. So, consistent effort. You know, in my Brahmin life, with my timetable, with my effort, which is churning of knowledge, sharing knowledge, yoga, over a long period of time, will make a golden aged sanskara in me. Does it make sense? So, the process of becoming a diamond. Is an important one. It's our future. Why does Baba give so much value to this confluence age? Because in this confluence age, under the direct guidance or teaching from God, we are changing. The soul is changing from an iron-aged being into a golden-aged diamond. And Baba says this diamond, this short diamond age, the confluence age is the diamond age. It's higher than the golden age as well. Golden age is the time to enjoy the reward of this age. But there's no effort. It's just enjoyment of the reward. What is the other thing that's not there in golden age? Baba is not there. So that's what makes this short period even more elevated. That the jeweler has taken responsibility for the process of reforming me, of making me into a diamond. You know, they make idols out of stone using chisel and hammer. But it takes a sculptor many, you know, sometimes months, years to perfect an idol. Isn't it? But for all that while, the stone is sitting in one position. The stone is not moving. Only then the sculptor can work on it, isn't it? So can we allow that luxury of being still to our sculptor so he can work on us? Or do we get impatient and start to move? You know, start to take the chisel in my own hand. So sometimes we interfere in our own progress towards becoming a flawless diamond. So having the faith that the sculptor, the jeweler who has spotted me, spotted the value in me, is responsible for my transformation. What do I have to do? I just have to be present. You know, like that stone, I have to be present in front of the sculptor. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be present in front of God? Anyone? Sorry?
Knowing Him.
Follow Srimad. Surrender. Baba has given us a formula for leading this life. You know, right from Amrit Vela till we go to sleep at night, there is a method of how to lead this divine life. If there is something that's not clear, there is an example. You know, Baba says, follow Father. Follow Brahma Baba. There are seniors whose example is available to us. You know, so being present means to be in Baba's lap. So from Amrit Vela all the way till time to go to bed, you know, what am I thinking? What am I speaking? How am I behaving? Everything needs to be checked. And it is this process, the more we become present in front of Baba, the more the diamond will be flawless. Now let's look at the aspect of flawlessness. There are diamonds and then there are diamonds. Some diamonds are flawless and they have, you know, a lot of value. And there are others that have a slight flaw. Some are even fake diamonds. So the fake diamonds, it's clear they have not gone through the process of forming a diamond. You know, they've tried to shortcut it. And so its value is not much. They look good, but, you know, a little bit of shine, but no value. Then there are others that have a flaw for some reason. You know, like a mark or something. So, when Baba is inspiring us to be a flawless diamond, what is it that we need to be conscious about, be cautious about, that it doesn't cause a flaw in me? In today's Murli also, Baba gave a little hint. Baba said, when obstacles come, and we don't conquer them, but we get influenced by them. And obstacles also can come of a few types. One can be from the elements. Elements also includes our body, because body is made of five elements. So sickness is also an obstacle of the elements. Or it could be, you know, extreme weather, natural calamities. So if any of these obstacles shake us, if any people become an obstacle, means I cannot interact or deal with people. People become an obstacle. What does that mean? It means I'm lacking some power. The third type of obstacle, Baba said, is my own nature. So if any of these become an obstacle in my Brahman life, and under the influence of these obstacles, I disobey Srimad, then that creates a flaw in the soul. And Baba said, you know, the flaws have to be avoided at any cost. Because our objective is to become flawless. The aspect of my own nature becoming an obstacle. You know, we make a mistake and then we say, oh, it's my habit. I didn't mean to get upset, but I got upset. It's just my habit. When this happens, it's my habit, I get upset. So, how do we deal with that? Because Baba has numerous times told us that what you believe to be your nature, is it really your nature? So when I'm behaving out of body consciousness or under the influence of one of the five vices, at that time, I am under the influence of what I call my nature. But Baba is saying that's not my nature. That's Ravan's property. My nature is the original nature of the soul. The original nature of the soul is complete purity, peace, love, joy, wisdom, bliss. That is my original nature. But for half the cycle, from Copper Age onwards, Ravan has started putting layers on top of my nature, my original nature. And what I see now is like a coat I'm wearing on top of my nature, and my original nature has become merged. And I've started to believe that this coat is my coat or my nature. So even to renounce this consciousness, to detach even from the weaknesses I see in me, to step back, to clearly understand that this is a coat given to me by someone, doesn't belong to me. I'm in the process of removing it layer by layer. Does this make sense? So even my nature becoming an obstacle is a problem. Because it's not my original nature. If we were acting out of our original nature, that nature would never become an obstacle. Because I wouldn't have to say, oh, in that situation I was so loving, I was, it's my nature. No. When you're loving, you're peaceful, you're naturally that, you don't have to justify it. But when you are opposite to your original nature, that's when you go into justification. Oh, I didn't mean to get angry, it's my nature. But when you're peaceful, loving, happy, you don't need to do any explanation, because it's of a higher quality. So the journey of the soul is a return journey to that state, that diamond-like state, where I am acting from my highest nature, my original nature, my original deity sanskaras. When I am a full battery, I am not lacking anything, means each of the eight powers are fully emerged. So I know what power needs to be practiced when, clearly, and each of those powers are available to me at my command. It seems like a high objective, does it? Who thinks it's very high objective? And who thinks it's achievable? Both are true. It's high as well as it's achievable. It's achievable, well, firstly it's high because Baba doesn't settle for anything second best. You know, Baba talks in the Murli to the rosary of 8, the rosary of 108, the rosary of 16,108, the rosary of 9,900,000, the 33 million. Everyone who will take any knowledge and come into golden and silver ages, Baba's talking the same language to them. So he sets the goalpost very high for the 8 souls. So it does seem high sometimes, but we need to take courage. We need to take, solace in the fact that our coach is also a very high authority. So we are being taught by God. So why can't we achieve a target that He has set? Because if we couldn't, He wouldn't give that to us, would He? So we've obviously done it. We will do it again. It's just a matter of going through the motions. So some of the other inspirations from this morning's Murli about flawless diamond. Baba said there's a diamond shining in the forehead of each and every soul. So basically the soul is a shining diamond. The vision of a flawless diamond will be flawless. So if I am able to see others as souls, if diamonds are visible to me all the time, that is a sign of flawlessness. If my vision is drawn to the body, then I am under the influence of my old nature. And that will cause an obstacle. And if I don't check it soon, it will become a sanskara, or a flaw, or a scratch, or a mark in the diamond. So I have to be so careful. So my vision, is it drawn to the diamond, the soul, or is it drawn to the body? A deep checking point. It brings us back to the very first lesson. I am a soul, and everyone else is a soul. So the more I see myself as a soul, the more I'll be able to see others as a soul. Like Baba's vision on the stone that has the capability or potential of being a diamond, Baba's not seeing the exterior, it's seeing the potential in that stone. So that's how my vision should be on each and every soul. Because what Baba said today, even if a soul in front of you is black like charcoal, is tamo pradhan, which means completely degraded, extremely vicious, impure, still to you they appear as a diamond. So being a diamond, seeing a diamond, you are inspiring them to become a diamond. So that their darkness is also removed. And we experience that with the dadis. When we go in front of the dadis and they give us some time and they give us drishti, they are not looking at the flaws in us. They are really searching for the beauty in the soul and encouraging that to come up to the surface. It's like their drishti is like a laser beam that goes and hits the beauty within the soul and stirs it up. So a flawless diamond can inspire others to become diamonds too. And a flawless diamond, whether it is set in a jewel or in jewelry, it's in a showcase, or it's lying in the mud, it will still shine. So what that means is sometimes we are in Madhuban, Sometimes we are in a center. Sometimes we are in our home. Sometimes we are out in the world. Our shine needs to be constant. A flawless diamond will shine no matter where it is. Out in the world, vibrations of body consciousness will try and cover the diamond with dust. But it's up to us. It's up to us to stay cautious that no dust covers me. And again, you know, if we stay within the confines of Baba's systems, Baba's maryadas, there is safety in that. You know, the minute we stray a little bit, or we cross the line a little bit, that's when our eyes get dust in them. You know, ever been in a dust storm, or when there's wind blowing and something goes into your eye? Then it's difficult to see where you're going. Your vision is affected. So not to allow that. And the other aspect that Baba covered today about flawless diamonds is that they are normally kept in the light. Meaning, even if they are in a showcase, there will be a spotlight on them. And have you ever seen a diamond shining in light, when there's light on it? You know, that's when its various faces reflect very beautifully. You know, different colors. And you'll get a different experience looking at different face of the diamond. Isn't it? You know, and you will get a myriad of colors coming, emerging from that. Rainbow colors. So a flawless diamond in Baba's dictionary is one who has those eight powers emerged. Meaning they are so powerful that no matter what side of theirs is visible, it is showing some power. And that power encourages weak souls to become powerful as well. So it's not just for the self. The diamond doesn't keep the shine for itself. It shines for the world. So similarly, you know, a full, powerful soul is not powerful for its own sake. That is, of course, part of the journey. But it is powerful in order to bestow power onto others, to make others powerful, to be an instrument, to make weak souls powerful. How is this possible? What is it that I need to do in practical to be in that stage where each of those eight powers are available to me in full stock so I can bestow, I can give them to others? Basically, it's that fire of yoga which will fill up the soul and make the soul powerful. You know, so the more we stay in yoga with Baba, so it's me and the Supreme, and there's a constant link. So there's like an invisible wire, and that's drawing current from Baba into the soul. And when the soul is full, each of those powers are visible, are available. And then we can serve with the powers. How? Again, there's three ways of serving. Serving through the mind, serving through our words, and serving through our actions. Service of the mind is the most powerful form of service, of course. So where I am in connection with Baba, I'm drawing power, I am full, then I am able to direct power to a soul, or to a group of souls, or to the entire world, to the elements. So I become a conduit or a channel for Baba's power to flow to that person, that persons, or the whole world. So this is what Baba refers to as Mansa Seva, service through the mind. It's the most powerful form of service, most incognito form of service. People who are being served don't even know where this power is coming from. But it's a very real form of service. It's not something, you know, hypothetical or something magical. No, it's very, very tangible. And if you aren't already experimenting or using it, I would encourage you to do so. You know, take up situations in your own life where somebody, some loved one needs some power. You know, and sit in yoga. Fill yourself up with Baba's power and then let it overflow and direct it to that soul. And then see what is the change that comes in that soul. You will be amazed. So this is serving through the mind. Second is serving through words. So through words you can help people, you know, who need resolutions of certain, you know, situations or conflicts in their own life. So your words will serve. There will be power in your words. Because you can clearly see their situation. Because as a detached observer, it is easy to see what people are going through. Using Baba's knowledge, understanding of karma, you know, the understanding of time. Because what are people going through? People are mostly going through settlement of karma. You know, so a little bit of power through the words, giving them a bit of direction, we can serve them. Serving through our actions, this is where our, you know, we serve through virtues. So being virtuous in my action, in my interaction with people. I can be virtuous only when I'm powerful. When I'm weak, it's difficult to be virtuous. So what does that mean? Let's take an example. So somebody is going through a hard time and they need some, you know, some support. They just need somebody to listen to them, somebody to be tolerant, you know, somebody to be patient with them. So when these powers, eight powers, come into action, when we offer them this power in our interaction, when we are available for them, we tolerate them, we are patient with them, this is power in action. You know, so power in through the mind, through words, and in action. So these are the various ways we can serve. Of course, serving through the mind is done sitting down in yoga. So Amrit Vela or, you know, morning yoga, evening yoga, traffic control even. But the other two are more practical because we are interacting with people where we can use powerful words and we practice power or virtues in our interactions with people. All of this will make us a diamond. And it's part of the process of that extended period of being subject to high temperature, yoga, fire of yoga, and high pressure, which is, you know, interaction with people, because it's people who pressure us. And when we have gone beyond that, when there is no buttons remaining in me, you know, people press our buttons, they test us, they make us irritated, upset, agitated. But if all my buttons are gone, they can't do that. And in return, I can respond with powers, virtues. And that's a diamond life. That's the formula Baba has given us. I just have to follow it. And the results are guaranteed. The experiences of a diamond life are guaranteed if I am accurately following Baba's formula. If the results are not visible, then I have to question myself. I have to check myself. Where is there inaccuracy in my following of Srimat, or following of Baba's formula, of not being present in front of Baba? Now, have I gone into some side scenes? Am I a bit lost? Am I distracted? Well, if you are distracted, then Baba also, after a while, will say, okay, have it your way then. So this is the journey of becoming a flawless diamond. Any other points you remember from today's Murli? Anyone? See each other as angels, yes. Baba's yukti was, if you can't see the dot, you know, if the dot slips, dot of soul consciousness, looking at each one as a soul, if you can't, because you have the old nature of 63 births of looking at the body, Ravan's property, then Baba's yukti or shortcut was, okay, look at the body of light. You know, see yourself as an angel, as a body of light. And look at others as angels, as bodies of light. What else? Our life is a life of celebration. So in the context of, don't just celebrate Diamond Jubilee one day or few days and then forget about it. In Hindi the word is manana, you know. But Baba says manana means banana, to become. True celebration of the Diamond Jubilee is to actually become a diamond yourself. And there's a few years that have gone since this Murli was spoken, 96. So, have you been celebrating since? What are the eight powers? They are like eight tools in my toolbox. You know, any handyman, any person who works with their hands, like a carpenter or plumber, they carry a toolbox. You know, so the Brahmin toolbox to become a flawless diamond is the eight faces of the diamond, or the eight powers. And we need to use those tools, because the more we use them, the better we become. We get at using them. If you've never used a hammer before, you've only seen someone use a hammer, and you try to use it, you could hurt yourself, you could damage yourself. And so we really need to intimately get to know these powers. They are our powers. They are our tools. They are my friends, available to me in any situation, every situation. You know, starting from the very first one, which is the power to withdraw. You know, the practice of traffic control. There's so much of negativity that we get exposed to on a daily basis. Am I able to detach myself, withdraw myself to protect myself. You know, like a tortoise, when it senses danger, it just goes into its own shell for its own protection. So the process of, you know, the hourly traffic control, it's to increase this power to withdraw. So I may be in the thick of things, but if I'm able to withdraw at will, then that's a power that's available to me. I need to use it. I need to make it my friend. Once you learn to withdraw, then the second power is the power to pack up. You know, to be able to pack up unwanted stuff. You know, if there's any waste, any memories of the past, you know, put a full stop. So the second power is to put a full stop. Power to pack up, full stop. Then the power to tolerate, you know, situations, people, differences of opinion, other people's ideas, my own ideas, you know, my own stuff comes up, desires, etc. Tolerate. Don't get impatient. You know, because if you start to behave on impulses rather than tolerating, you make, you know, you damage relationships, you damage yourself by being reactive. So the power to tolerate helps us be more proactive, to respond to situations rather than be reactive. And you know the difference between reaction and proaction or positive action, response rather than react. The power to accommodate. You know, people are different. I need to learn to live with everyone, so to be able to accommodate people. People's differences, differences of opinions, differences in people's backgrounds, religious beliefs, ethnic backgrounds. You know, 7 billion souls in the world. Each one is different. I really need to learn how to accommodate people. Because only when I learn how to accommodate, can I then cooperate with them, which is the next power, power to cooperate. To be able to lend my finger of cooperation to something that is positive. And so what are we doing here as Brahmins? Through our own life, through our own self-transformation, we are lending a finger of cooperation to God's task of world transformation. Isn't it? Yeah, so the power to cooperate with a bigger task, because I cannot achieve it on my own. Yet if all of us lend a finger of cooperation, many hands make easy work. Then the power to discern, to know what is valuable, what I must keep. You know, to value the jewels that Baba gives us in the Murli. And what is rubbish? You know, I don't need to keep stones. You know, the swan has got so much of discerning ability. In deep water, it will pick up only pearls. It will not touch stones. You know, so to know the value of what's in front of me, the true value. Value of the soul in front of me. Value of my own self in Baba's eyes. So, the ability to discern, or the power to discern. The power to judge. You know, we need to take so many decisions on a day-to-day basis. What to do, how to do, you know, how to act, how to interact. So a clear mind, a clean intellect will only be able to take clear, unbiased decisions or judgments. You know, a judge has to be very detached from the case. Only then can they give the right judgment. But if they have a vested interest, if they are involved in some way, or they are attached, then the outcome will be influenced. It won't be accurate. So the power to judge. And then the power to face, because sometimes in life we have to stand up to situations and face our own fears, unfounded fears, wrong fears. We have to face up to people who are, you know, aggressive or bullies. You know, but do it very gently, very softly. But Even the power to face, it's a power. It's a soft power, but it's a power. You know, a powerful soul doesn't mean that we are always like a doormat. Anyone can walk over me. I'm always tolerating. No, there is time to tolerate and there's a time to face up. And where that line is the power to discern which will tell me. Okay, then now is the time to tolerate. Continue tolerating. But now it's getting beyond the limit. Now I need to say something, to face up. You know, we often make the mistake of facing up when somebody needs gentle, you know, cooperation, tolerance. And when somebody needs to be faced, we in the name of Om Shanti, I'm a peaceful soul. We don't like conflict. So sometimes we tolerate more than we should be. You know, so all these powers are my tools. They are the eight faces of a diamond. And each one of them has to be emerged and visible. Only then the diamond is complete. They can also be, you know, called the, you can use the analogy of a wheel. The eight powers are like the eight spokes of a wheel. And if they are all balanced, then the wheel is balanced and the journey of life is enjoyable. But if one or two spokes are weak or missing, the wheel is a bit wobbly, you know, and so when you go over potholes and obstacles or stones, you really get shaken up. So balanced life is a balanced wheel with all eight powers fully emerged in full balance. The eight faces of a diamond.